Acts chapter 4 for the reading of the Word of God this morning. I'm going to be preaching today on this subject, the reality of the resurrection. The reality of the resurrection. I'm just going to read three verses, then go back through the chapter with the message. The first verse I'm going to read, I'll read a couple verses. Acts chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, if you will, look at verse number 10. The Bible said, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Now, if you will, look with me at verse 33. The Word of God said, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." I've been examining this chapter now since Thursday morning early, and the more I chew on it, the bigger it gets. But I want you to know that three times in this chapter, in the life of the early church, emphasis was put on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be going through the chapter with you, and don't let that scare you, but I'm telling you, it is rich. And God wants us to look this morning at this subject, the reality of the resurrection. Please pray with me a moment. If you know how to get a hold of God, and you sat there this morning daydreaming while I'm praying, God help you. I said, pray with me this morning. There's urgent business to be done in this service today. I'm telling you, God wants to do a miracle in somebody's heart. God wants to help somebody to get rid of that heavy load and to get rid of that burden, amen, of sin. God wants to help somebody to know he's alive. And because he lives, they'll live forever if they trust him. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the reality of the resurrection. I pray this morning you'd clothe us in our calling. Help us to say what needs to be said. Help us to say, Lord, what you've put in our heart from the Word of God. Help us, Lord, this morning. Lord, I found out as I studied this chapter that, Lord, there was a great boldness when men stood to speak the Word of God. Lord, we don't have to apologize for the Bible. It is the Word of God. Give us, Lord, not arrogance, but a holy boldness to stand and preach this day. Lord, I'm well aware this might be the last time I ever get to stand. So, Lord, help me to do my best. Help me, Lord, to reach out to folk. Help them, Lord, not to see the preacher, but to see the preacher's Lord. Help them not just to hear my voice, but to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to their heart. I pray you'd bless our people. Help us to be in a spirit of prayer through this service, to mind the Lord, and God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to just mention, just by way of introduction, just the three areas or the three things that I looked at in the verses that we just read. The first verse there, the Bible said, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. I call this the wonder of the resurrection. The wonder of the resurrection. Not going to preach a lot on that, but I'm just telling you, just a few days before, here's a man, Peter, that's sad. Here's a man, Peter, that doesn't know what's happened to his Lord. Here's a man that thinks he'll never see him again. But thank God when he ran and went into that tomb and he found it was empty. He knows now there's what they call the wonder of the resurrection. You see, a lot of people today will be in church for a lot of different reasons. Some are in church today because some loved one just begged them to go to church. But I'm telling you, around the world today, there'll be people that'll go to church that may not go any other day throughout the year. But I'm going to tell you something else. There's people in this room that go every Sunday. I'm telling you, if you're missing them, beloved, there's something bad wrong. They're bad sick. You want to know why? They understand the wonder of the resurrection. They understand that Sunday's the first day of the week. That's the day the church meets together to celebrate the fact that he arose. He arose. Hallelujah.
Christ arose. And then I called this second one down here in verse number 10. The Bible said, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, then he said, whom God raised from the dead. I call this the work of the resurrection. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? Well, the Bible said here that God raised him from the dead. Jesus said in another place, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again. You say, preacher, how do you reconcile that? You don't really have to. You just have to believe that Jesus is God. Amen. God did raise up his son. And the son did have the power over death, hell, and the grave to get up. And we see the work of the resurrection in this, that God raised him from the dead. I'm telling you this morning, if you're saved by the grace of God, it's not because some pastor did a work in your heart. It's not because somebody did a work in your heart. It's because the same God that raised Jesus from the dead did a work in your heart. That is the work of the resurrection. And then in verse number 33, we have another passage here talking about the resurrection. I'm just trying to introduce the reality. The Bible said here, and the great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You say, preacher, you see the wonder of the resurrection. I do. You see the work of the resurrection. I do. And then that last passage, I see the witness of the resurrection. I'm telling you, beloved, people that have been saved just can't help but talk about it. Amen. They just can't help but recommend to others a living Savior. There's a lot of people in this world that's come through and gone, and many of them have claimed to be a Savior. But I'm telling you, there's only one that rose again the third day. You can't find his body. You can't find his bones. But I tell you what you can do. You can find his people. They're everywhere scattered around the globe, still witnessing to the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you seven statements this morning. Some of you weren't praying, so now you'll pray. Amen. Let me give you seven statements this morning from the Word of God in this chapter. And I believe God will speak to our hearts through this. Because of the resurrection, we're preaching on the reality now of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, there is a division that is real. You say, preacher, what a way to start a sermon. Well, maybe that's why God gave me that little introduction last night. Amen. So I wouldn't start it on such a negative note. But there's a division right here in this chapter. You can't even get started. You say, preacher, where do you see it? The Bible said, and as they spake unto the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved. Grieved that they taught the people. There's some in this passage that are grieved. Look in verse number 4. And many of them which heard the word believed. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He didn't come to get everybody together. Listen to me, beloved. He's a divider of men. Beloved, listen, he even said in one passage, he set a man at variance with his own family. I'm telling you, the cross and the resurrection is a divider of men. There are some, beloved, this Easter Sunday morning that are grieved because some man of God's opened the Word of God and preaching the resurrection of Jesus. But there are many, hallelujah, that have believed the message and know in their heart that it's true, amen, that Jesus rose from the dead. Let me ask you something right now. Let me ask you something. If Jesus were to come right now, and he could come in any moment. I don't see one thing that has to be fulfilled. Beloved, listen, when the last one is birthed into the family of God, Jesus will come. He'll get his church. But I want to ask you this question. If he came right now, beloved, would you be in that grieved crowd? Or would you be in that believing crowd? I'm telling you, there's a division that's real because of the resurrection. I see, beloved, listen, not only a division that's real, but the next thing I want to look at in the chapter is because of the resurrection, there is a distinction that's real. You see, preacher, what do you mean? Look in verse number 14 here. Verse number 12. The Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You say, preacher, what do you mean a distinction that's real? You say, preacher, you're awful narrow-minded if you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. What I believe, beloved, is the Bible's right. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because of the resurrection, it distinguishes the Savior from everybody else that claimed to be a Savior. Amen. The Bible said here that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I just want to hear his name this morning. Beloved, would somebody tell me what his name is this morning? Tell me. Tell me. Talk to me. What's his name, church? I can't hear you, church. What's his name? Amen. Who is it that saved you from your sin? Who is it that's coming again? Who is it that can change lives in this generation that we live in? What's his name? There is none other. Amen. Anybody that comes with another, beloved, another gospel or another Jesus does not have the Jesus of the Bible. The distinction is seen in the Savior. The distinction is seen in the saints. Look at verse 13. This is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. Some of you that are visiting with us today can probably already figure out why. Look at verse number 13. The Bible said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, watch this, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I said the resurrection is real. There's a distinction that's real. The distinction is seen in the Savior, and the distinction is seen in the saints. I'm telling you, Peter and John, beloved, listen, these are just two rough old fishermen. Are you listening to me this morning? God came into their heart. Jesus came into their life, delivered them from their sin, changed them. Now they're fishing for men. The Word of God said in this same text, there were 5,000 men that got saved. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, if there was one woman and one child for each man, that would have been 15,000 people that got saved. I don't know how many got saved, but I know 5,000 men got saved because a man was bold enough to stand up and say, Jesus is the one that died. Jesus is the one that rose again. Jesus is the one you're going to answer to when you leave this world. Amen. Because of the resurrection, there's a distinction that's real. Watch this now. The Bible said here in verse number 15, I want to give you this. Because of the resurrection, there's a determination that's real. Now listen, the Sadducees didn't like it. Amen. The religious crowd didn't like it. And so they're trying to shut them up. I want to show you a determination that's real. I'm going to tell you something right now. Some people, the least little trouble come along, and they tuck tail and run. Not Peter. Not John. Not in the early church. Are you listening to me, beloved? Listen, they welcomed it. Not the Apostle Paul. Beloved, not Silas. We had a Silas born this week. Amen. Praise God for Silas. That's the second Silas in the world, I know, to go with the Silas in the Bible. But let me give you this. I believe with all of my heart there's a determination. Watch verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. Can you see them over there in the corner now talking? Do you understand the setting here? There's a man that was lame that sat at the temple in chapter number 3 begging for alms. And one day Peter and John walked by and he held up his little cup and Peter looked down on him and said, look on us. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You have to understand the Bible that we're talking about in the early days, the Jews. And the Jews required a sign. And Jesus raised that man up. And that man went leaping through the temple. And so they had all seen it, beloved. They couldn't deny it. You'll read it later. A notable miracle had been done among them. But I want you to understand, beloved, they're off in the corner now. They're scratching their head. What are we going to do with these guys that are preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What are we going to do? Watch what the Bible said. As the Bible said in verse 16, what shall we do with these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done and manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Look at verse 17. But that it spread no further. You know what? This is still going on today. Brother Brian, you did a great job in Sunday school. What this whole roadblock is about is that it spread no further. The devil still don't want the truth to spread any further. Amen. But what I'm trying to tell you is because of the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection, there was a determination in these men's heart that they weren't going to stop because somebody said stop. Daniel didn't stop because somebody said stop. Are you listening to me this morning? I want to know if the law said stop, would you stop? Not preaching the gospel. God's men are not going to stop. They're going to keep preaching the word of God. There's a distinction that's real, a determination that's real. The Bible said that it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and they commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. I want to ask you something. You reckon they wasted their breath? They said, we don't want you to speak. We don't want you to teach in the name of Jesus. And they wasted their breath. And Peter said unto them, Peter and John answered and said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. He said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know, let me put that in East Tennessee vernacular for you. They said, we can't help it. We've been with Jesus and we can't help it. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, that's the best witnessing you'll ever do in your life when you don't have to work it up. Amen. But God's just so much on you and you're so full of Him, you can't help it. You got to tell somebody what He's done for you. Amen. Because of the resurrection, there's a division that's real. Because of the resurrection, there's a distinction that's real. There's a determination that's real. Let me give you this, number four. Because of the resurrection, there's a declaration that's real. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Watch this in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they heard that, they went over in the corner and they sat down and they moaned and they groaned and they cried and said, oh, I just see it if you're reading your Bible, amen. When they heard that, the Bible said, they said, Lord, thou art God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. I want you to know, beloved, listen, in verse 29, he said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness we may speak thy word. They were saying, shut up, but they wouldn't shut up. Amen. The devil's still trying to shut God's people up today, but God's people aren't going to shut up. And then until we go up, then we'll just shut up down here and speak up over there and praise Him. Amen. Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Because of the resurrection, there's a declaration that is real. Because of the resurrection, there's a display that is real. Look at verse 30. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. This man that was lame on his feet is now walking around. Are you listening to me? They see him. They can't deny it. He was over 40 years old when this happened. Let me ask you something. Can people see something in your life that they can't deny? Do they see a notable miracle in your life? I'm going to tell you a greater miracle than a lame man getting healed. That's a sinner man getting saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the Bible is talking about here a man that's on display, a people that are on display. If you look back up to verse number 16, the Bible said, indeed, a notable miracle hath been done by them. It's manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. I'm going to tell you something. I heard this early this morning. I went on the internet. I was looking at martyrs. Now listen, I'm not talking about way back yonder. I'm talking about today. I looked this up. Every month, right now, currently, 255 Christians are killed every month. 104 Christians are abducted every month. 180 Christian women are raped, sexually harassed, are forced into marriage every month. 66 churches are attacked every month. 160 Christians are detained and imprisoned without a trial every month. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm talking about notable miracles. I'm talking about people that would rather die, would rather go to prison than to deny the Lord Jesus Christ that bought them. I read about a little girl. She was 14 years old. She had a little brother. And beloved, at school, they came into the school and somebody presented the gospel. And that little girl trusted Jesus. Her name was Susan. She was 14 years old. Her dad took him, her little brother, and her out in the backyard, put a knife to their throat, and said, "Deny Jesus or I'll cut your throat." And they would not deny the Lord Jesus. Instead of cutting their throat, he took the little girl, 14 years old, and put her in a room. There was a mat in the middle of the floor, and put her in a room and said, "You're not to leave that mat until you're willing to deny Jesus." And she sat there, and she sat there, and she sat there. And the little boy, her little brother, would find the dad gone, and he dug a hole under the door, and he would pour water in the hole so the water could leach up under the door, and she would lap the water like a dog. You say, preacher, when did daddy come back? 3 months later, he came back. You want to know what he found? He found a skeleton sitting there. A skeleton that was still alive because of what the little boy was able to slide under the door. And beloved, she was in such bad shape where she had sat on the mat so long. When they got her to the hospital, beloved, listen, when they got her to the hospital, they said they had to work with her in therapy just to get things moving. And they asked her, "Why did you just sit there?" She said, "Because I would rather sit there and die than to leave the mat and deny my Lord Jesus Christ." I say hallelujah. Determination. There's some people, beloved, that are determined to serve the Lord. There's some people that are devoted to serve the Lord. The next thing the Bible said here in verse 33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Let me tell you something this morning, beloved. I believe Jesus is coming. And I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to be a witness till he comes. I don't want my life to say God is dead. I want my life to say God is alive. I don't want my life to say there's another way. I want my life to say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Because of the resurrection, there's a devotion that's real. The Bible said here, watch this now. Look at verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed. There's a multitude. May have been more than 15,000, Brother Steve. You got 3,000 men saved on the day of Pentecost. Another 5,000 saved here. That's 8,000 men besides the women and children. And everybody knows the woman's heart is softer than the man's. Somebody help me. Everybody knows a child's heart is softer than an adult's. Somebody help me. I'm telling how many was in that multitude. The Bible said the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. I want you to look at their devotion. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Do you see the devotion? Beloved, listen, these people loved God. These people were looking for him to come back. These people realized the things of this world don't mean nothing. Amen. And beloved, there was a devotion in their heart. You say, preacher, why do God's people love one another? Why do God's people love the church? Why do God's people love their Bible? Why do God's people love to pray? Why do God's people love to give? Could it be because they love a Savior that first loved them and is alive and well in their heart and in their life? Amen. Yes, there's a devotion that is real. Oh, beloved friend, listen, I'm thankful. I don't know what happened in the offering this morning. But I know this, if you obey God, he's going to bless you. He'll bless you up one side and down the other. Amen. I know this, you can't outgive God. Can I get a good amen right there? Have you ever tried it? You just go ahead and try it. You try to outgive God. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I'm a fool for Christ's sake. I believe the word of God. I believe Jesus is coming. I believe the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. Because of the resurrection, let me give you this last one. It's last but not least. There's a danger that's real. A danger that's real. Listen to me this morning. I'm going to ask you to help me a minute and cooperate with me. How many of you have a loved one that's lost? Would you raise your hand? You got somebody that you love dearly that's lost. Let me tell you about a danger that's real. Beloved, that's being separated for eternity because of the resurrection. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Well, listen to these verses and I'll get right to it. The Bible said in Mark 3:29, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Now, there's some different ideas about blaspheming the Holy Ghost, but I do know this. If you give Satan credit for something God's doing, you're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Also know this. If you leave this world without Jesus, you're in danger of eternal damnation. I looked at a guy last week. I was watching the news. I don't remember the specifics. I remember this man, they said he went from being a hero to zero. Listen to me. He was preaching to 6,000 people every Sunday. Anybody see it besides me? You saw it, Brother Andy? I'm telling it right, ain't it, brother? He said he went from a hero to zero. I'm going to tell you something. He ain't seen nothing yet. He got up and told his people that hell was not eternal. That there's no way that a God that is a God of mercy and a God of love and a God of grace could send somebody to a place called hell that's eternal. You know what I thank God for? I thank God that there wasn't 6,000 fools sitting out there. They said, we need us another preacher. Say amen. That's a heretic. I'm talking about, beloved, because of the resurrection, there is a danger that's real. You say, preacher, what do you mean? What I mean is you're not going to die and cease to exist. You're going to live somewhere forever. Listen to what the Bible said in John 5. And they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Brother Gale, that verse of Scripture is where most people get their general resurrection from. The Bible does not teach a general resurrection. The Bible talks about, beloved, listen, a first resurrection and a second death. Are you listening to me? Beloved, the saints of God are going to be gathered together. Those that we have buried in the graveyard, they're going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain. I used to think they got to go to heaven first. No, they just got to get even with us. Ain't nobody going to heaven first. We're all going together that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as our Savior. And let me tell you something right now. There are going to be some left behind. Let me tell you something else. There's a series. I don't care to say this. I'm going to stand on this book. There's a series of movies and books called Left Behind. I appreciate anything that will cause people to think about the end time and the fact that we're not going to be here forever. But I'm going to tell you, they missed it in one place. Listen to me carefully. They have in that series, let me think for just a minute. I believe it was the mom and the son that were saved and churchgoers. And it was the dad and the daughter, if I'm not mistaken, that would not have any part of it. And after the rapture, after Jesus came and took the saints of God away, the movie and the books portray that dad and that daughter getting right with God. There's a problem with that. Beloved, listen, according to the book of Thessalonians, I'm talking about a danger. You say, preacher, I'm not going to believe on Jesus. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a danger. Because if you reject him in this generation, you hear the gospel, you know he loves you, you know he died for you, and you reject him, God said he's going to send strong delusion. You say, preacher, he couldn't do that. Oh, yes, he can. You won't believe him today while it costs you nothing. Why would you believe him when it'll cost you everything? You can't even shop in the tribulation hour without the mark of the beast. It'll cost you your life. Listen to me carefully. I believe there's a danger, beloved, that's real because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Listen to what John said. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. How many's in that crowd? Glory to God. I said, how many's in that crowd? Believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He, listen, that believeth not the Son of God, the Bible said, the wrath of God abideth on him. Somebody needs to study the word abide. That means it stays. Are you listening? Listen to this, and I'm done. This came in the Sunday School Times. The title of it is Jesus Left the Light On. A small boy from a non-Christian home had been brought into the Sunday school. His mother was not only unsaved, but she had a morbid fear of death. After her little boy became interested in the Sunday school, he begged his mom to come to church with him, but she persistently refused his invitation because she was afraid that the preacher might say something about death or dying. On Easter Sunday, the teacher noticed this little lad and his rapt attention while she told the beautiful story of the risen Christ and the resurrection. The child hastened home with a shining face, and he exclaimed, "Oh, mother, you needn't be afraid of dying anymore, for Jesus went through the grave, and he left the light behind him." Gradually, the fear in her heart melted under the influence of her son's words about the light left behind him. Early one evening, she had put him to bed, and she heard him pray, as he did nightly, that God would make his mommy a Christian. How'd you like to be a mommy listening to a little one pray like that? "And do it right quick," he said. Brother Rose, I believe this little boy, he had an urgency that we don't have in the church today. God save my mommy and do it right quick. Jesus is coming. Do it right quick. And the story goes on. Later that evening, a neighbor persuaded the mother to go to church. The heaven-sent message brought conviction. And that night, her little boy's prayer was answered as she trusted Christ as her Savior. Let me tell you something right now. Death can be a dark place, but not for the child of God. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Oh, you say, "Preacher, the valley of the shadow of death." You know, I don't have a lot of sense, but I got enough sense to know this. If there's a shadow, there's a light. There's a light guiding me. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He'll go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. That's what the Word of God said. Beloved, let me ask you this. If you had to close your eyes in death this morning, would you close your eyes in fear? Or would you close your eyes in faith? Years ago, I was on a snowy road. I'm telling you, you can be put to the test. There was a guy trying to get up the hill that I was coming down. It's on East Carter's Valley Road, right as you go out of Virginia back into Tennessee. He was in a full-size GMC truck. Two-wheel drive. I'm in a four-wheel drive. You can't even touch the brakes. I just had to pull it down in low and let it ease off the hill. When you touch the brakes, the roads were so slick. And I can remember like it was yesterday. There was a GMC grill that looked, you know, about like that from here to the back of the church. And by the time he hit me in the door, I'm right in the door. There's a telephone pole on the other side. I was in a little Ford Explorer. He drove me into the telephone pole, totaled my vehicle. I did not have a scratch on my body. I didn't even have a sore spot. Are you listening to me? But I tell you what, it was a test, Brother Steve. I knew in a moment of time I could be checking out. But you know what? I had a peace. You want to know why? Because I knew if I checked out, I'd be checking in. If I check out down here, I'm checking in over yonder where Jesus is. What about you this morning? What about you? He went through the grave. He left the light. You and I that are here today are supposed to be lights. The Bible said, let your light so shine before men that men would see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Are you letting your light shine? Can your loved ones see the light in your life? Let's bow for prayer this morning. I hope and pray to God that you'll realize the resurrection is real. There's going to be a separating day. Those that are saved are going to be separated from those that are unsaved. Those that are unsaved are going to be separated from God's heaven, from God's mercy, from God's love forever and forever. I want to ask you a question this morning. If Jesus were to come right now, would you be in that crowd that believes, or would you be in that crowd that's grieved? Christ is a divider of men. Even at Calvary, there was one thief on one side that said, Lord, remember me. The other thief on the other side said, if thou be the Christ, come down and get us down. Do you know him today? Do you know him? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God's people praying.